Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Oh, I love that movie. Well, today I'm excited because we're doing a Fresh Start at Hope. And, you know, that movie, in a lot of ways, reflects kind of a Christian view of life, right? For better or for worse, a lot of Christians look at life kind of like that movie. You know, we're intensely positive, and sometimes we're a little over dramatic, and we're always expecting things to work out. And you know, just the perfect change in everything is just one song away, right? You know, just the other day we were out hiking, and why, the hills were alive with the sound of music. You know, it was just that close. Well, as we look at this today, and also, you know, that, like this movie, we're in a strange and terrifying land. And it's not always working out like the musical, right? Well, we're in this series, Fresh Start, and we've been looking at a fresh start of marriage, a fresh start at church, a fresh start at family, a fresh start at finances, a fresh start at heart. And throughout this, we've been looking at two things that work together really well, and that's the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God. We're looking at the wisdom of the Word and the Spirit of the Lord, and how those two really work well together. And our text that kind of overflows this whole series is Exodus 6:1, where it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do.'" So, next week we're going to start a new series called Presence, and I'm really excited about that, kind of our Christmas series from then to the end of the year. And then today we're doing Fresh Start at Hope. And our text today is found in Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and this is going to be our spot for today. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to start right at verse 1, and if you have your Bibles open there with me, and let's take a close look at this text together. So Romans 5, starting at verse 1, Paul speaking, and he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, in whom He has given us." In this text, there's a whole lot about hope. And first thing I want us to notice is the pathway to hope. Do you see in this text the pathway to hope? Now, just as a step aside here for a minute, one of the things that I want to encourage you to do in your own study of the Word, and we see here in this text, is prepositions. In fact, this text has a plethora of prepositions. And if you're like me, I learned about prepositions first in eighth grade and then forgot about them for a long time. And prepositions, eighth grade grammar class, prepositions is relation of one noun to another. So a preposition might be around. You know, I can go around the pulpit. I can go, I can go through the pulpit and go into, out of, over, under. Those type of words are all prepositions. And this text is filled with really meaningful prepositions. And I want to encourage you, just in not only in this text, but throughout your Bible study, watch the prepositions and see what's happening here. Now, as we look at these, the path of true hope, first we have to stop and acknowledge false hope, right? False hope. And the first false hope that I want to bring up is what I'm just calling Hollywood hope. See, our culture, and really it's our overall culture, but I'm going to blame it most on Hollywood, and that kind of focuses us on something that we can think about. But hope, false hope in our culture is often equated to a wish. Wish and hope are completely different words, completely different meanings. See, Hollywood hope says wish will lead us to, if we have a right kind of wish and we just wish the right way and we really believe in our wish, well, then luck will come and then we will rejoice, we'll have joy. And that is false hope. That's a wish. You know, I have wishes, but I realize they're wishes, they're not hope. Wishes are good, but it's not hope. That's not what this text is talking about. You know, and unfortunately, we tend to take the world's concept here and say and Christianize it. So we put something, and I'm going to call it shallow hope, and we just Christianize it. We just say, well, we don't believe in luck. We believe in blessings. So we have a wish, and then if we wish the right way, and then, you know, we ask, and God will bless it, and then we will rejoice. And you know what? I believe in God's blessing. I really, really do. But the hope of the Bible, the hope that the Bible is telling us that we have in Jesus Christ, is a more of a fundamental shift than this. I want to encourage you to a true hope, a deeper hope. So let's take a look a little closer into the first path to true hope. There's two paths this text takes. The first path to true hope is found in verses 1 and 2 as we look at the supernatural hope of our God in our now. So the path that is now. So starting at verse 1, and I'm going to highlight some prepositions here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Oh, there's a whole lot going on there. But this is, I'm calling the path to true hope in the now. God is giving us a path to true, deep hope in the now. And so let's look at this path. The first part of this path is that Jesus gives us three things. Now, there's a whole bunch of prepositions here. And if we map out the prepositions, you know, by and since and because and so forth, and we map it out, we see a pathway to true hope. And the first part of this path is that Jesus gives us first thing. It gives us three things. The first thing is justification. It's our standing. Justification is a big theological word. We see it in Paul's letters. And it means basically our standing first. What is our standing? And justification, because of Jesus Christ, our standing is made right. Because of His blood and because we have accepted His sacrifice, our standing has been made right. Now, I want to stop and think about this just for a second and with a story kind of talk about, well, what does that mean? Well, imagine you will, and a lot of Christians kind of view it this way. Imagine you will that you have a Walmart credit card and you've put way too much money on that credit card, right? It's maxed out, and they've upped your limit a couple times they shouldn't have, and they maxed those out again, and you are way in over your head, and there's just no possible way, right, to pay off that credit card. And so one way Christians kind of look at standing is they go, well, you know, I got to go talk to somebody at Walmart, tell them my situation. Well, maybe they'll write this off. And sure enough, you know, you go and you take your Walmart credit card and you talk to the right person, you explain your situation, and they go, well, all right, well, we're just going to write this off. And so your debt is gone, but how do you feel at that moment, right? A lot of people look at justification in Jesus Christ as we look at our sin and we've accepted Jesus as our sacrifice and we have now right standing, but we kind of view it as this uncomfortable, awkward situation, kind of like the Walmart credit card thing. Well, see, in the story, the part that we got right is that the credit card is maxed out. Sin costs us way more than we could ever take care of. So let's do the story a little differently. So you have the credit card, you've maxed it out, and sin has its cost. And you've maxed it out, you've asked for a raise to the credit limit a couple times too many, and maxed it out again, and you realize there's no way I can pay this myself. And that's true with our sin, right? There's no way we can take care of this ourselves. Well, at that perfect moment, you meet the heir of the Walmart fortune. Fall in love and get married. And the heir of the fortune says, "Sweetie, you don't need to worry about that. It's taken care of. Done." And guess what? You don't need to shop at Walmart no more. Right? That's kind of our story with justification. With justification, we have a debt we could never pay. And we have met a Savior who's paid it all and taking us away from those places that leads us into further debt, leads us away from that. Well, Jesus gives us three things on our pathway to hope. The first one is justification. Just as if I had never sinned. My standing with God is just as if I had never sinned because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Nothing I have done. The second thing that our text talks about that Jesus gives in our pathway to true hope is that he gives us peace with God. Now, that is more profound, I think, than sometimes it might sound. See, there is a distance between us and God, but because of Jesus, he is brought so very near and welcoming and peace because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that Jesus gives is that we have access to grace. That is amazing. We have access to the throne of grace, the book of Hebrews says. And here we are before God receiving his goodness, though we do not deserve it. His grace is abundant upon us. Well, because on this path we begin with the things as we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's three things he gives us. But that leads to something in this path to true hope. Next on the path, we see that those three things together lead us to, first, an encounter with the glory of God. Our text says, into God's glory. We are led into his glory. So we have access to his glory, but we are also in his glory. And so in this path, we've received the three things from Jesus, and we continue on, and we are now inside of his presence. We're inside of his victory, inside of him. In him we live and move and have our being. In him. Now, this is the point that because Jesus has given us those three things, and then we move in the path, and now we are in God's glory, that gives us hope. Hope. And the one thing about hope is that hope always leads to rejoicing. We see that in our text, that there is rejoicing because of this hope. Because of this hope, we have a true hope and a true joy. Now, going back to our false hope, you know, we have wish and luck and rejoicing. Well, that is so much less than what our text is talking about. Because of Jesus, we have those three things, and that leads us into God's glory, and that gives us true, deep, profound, life-changing hope, which leads to another level entirely of rejoicing. Well, I mentioned in this text there are two paths of hope, and not that we can pick one or the other, but there are two paths that lead us to a deeper, truer, more wonderful, life-changing hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The first one I'm calling the path of now. And all of those things are available to us right now. right now we have the three things from Jesus that leads us into the glory of God, that leads us to hope and rejoicing. But next, we'll see the pathway of the past. So, verses 3 and 4 of our text. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I call that the pathway of the past, because as we look in this, we're seeing that there's a pathway, and that hope is at the end of it. The beginning of it is suffering. Now, here's a truth for you. The only way we can build a legacy is to create a history. The only way we can build a legacy is to create a history. On one level, Christians, on one level, we want to forget our past. And because that is available to us, we rejoice more than others, right? We want to forget the sin and the failures, right? Our sin is forgiven and forgotten. That part is gone. And you know what? Our failures, we learn from them and we move on, and we don't need to dwell on those because of Jesus Christ. But just as much as there's a huge piece of our past we want to forget, there's another piece that we want to create, right? We want to create a history that becomes a legacy, a history of following Christ. Only through creating history will we build the legacy, the godly legacy that we've been talking about. And so there's a pathway to true hope found in the past. That past gives us a godly hope. Suffering saints, I don't know about you, but as I've talked to different believers, believers who have been through it all have the greatest hope of anyone, right? You know what I found? I found that if you've met somebody that has just been through the ringer, and they're especially, and mostly entirely, if they're believers who have been through the ringer, they're so hopeful and excited and thankful for what God has done and brought them through. And the other side of the spectrum, you know, there's this, this powder puff, this pampered, spoiled powder puff, right? Those people are never hopeful and happy and thankful, right? The smallest little thing crushes them, right? It's just a little thing, and they're all upset for a long time. Well, see, that is the pathway of the past to lead us to a true hope. Something happens in this text. Take a look. First, there is a gift of suffering with Jesus by our side. If we suffer with Jesus on our side, it leads us to that past, that legacy that we want. Real life in this strange and terrifying land brings suffering. It's just a fact of life. If we embrace this path, there is first an immediate reward of perseverance. Our text talks about suffering leads to perseverance. So we face something. We face it, and it is hard, and nobody wants to say, "Ooh, let me sign up for that class." You know, that's tough. But if we embrace Christ in that season of life, we have an immediate result of perseverance growing in us. Perseverance that makes all the difference. Next on that path, though, is the reward, the lasting reward of character. The lasting reward of character comes only through perseverance. So we have suffering, and we can flee from it and leave that lesson. And there's times, by the way, that, you know, don't volunteer for suffering. But there are seasons of life that if we're there, we embrace Christ. And He builds in us perseverance. And that perseverance building on us builds character. And then finally, there's a surprise. Surprise of hope. At the end of all of that is hope. true hope, deep hope, lasting hope. And as always, as we've seen in this text, the end of hope is rejoicing, is joy. We learn that with God all things are possible. Only through that process, only through the pathway of the past. Think of the fires that you have walked through with God. Health trials, financial trials, relational trials. Because you've walked through them with God, you have built a legacy. A legacy that lets you know again that the future is bright. There's hope. And there is joy. Well, this text continues. So we have the two pathways. And next, we see the experience of true hope in verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given. So in this text, we see really an explanation of what does this hope feel like? It's different from anything else we can experience any other way. Only through Jesus Christ can we experience this great hope. You know, as we're approaching Christmas, I've been thinking about, you know, how Christmas experience is really different from when I was a kid and to when parent. See, when I was a kid, Christmas was all about kids, right? It was our day. It was Christmas loot. I think there's pirates in our past because we really called it Christmas loot. And in fact, my grandfather's pretty sure there's pirates in the past in our family line. But anyway, here we are, you know, woohoo, Christmas loot. Look at all this stuff I got. Yes. And now I see as a parent, Christmas is really about parents. Because as we do all the cooking and the decorating and the wrapping and the shopping, there's a moment when we have the privilege of giving a gift to our child and seeing complete joy. Complete joy. Well, both as a parent and as a kid, I have faced Christmas disappointment. Didn't work out as I planned. It wasn't as good as I hoped. It was not exactly where I was aiming for. Christmas disappointment. In our text, one of the things that really just grabs me is that this hope, this true hope in Jesus Christ, does not disappoint us. That is extraordinarily powerful because about everything else in life has the ability to disappoint us. True hope that we have in Jesus Christ does not disappoint. You see, the difference between that false hope that we talked about, the wish that leads to luck, that leads to rejoicing, that's our thing. The difference is that this kind of hope is not a wish. We use those words interchangeably, but they're very different. You see, hope, especially biblical hope, the biblical word for hope, means the joy that we find in a sure future. See, a sure future, it can't disappoint us because it is absolutely set in stone for sure. There's been a lot of future things that I've gone, okay, I know. You know, the baby's due at this date, the job starts at this date, paycheck comes on this date. You know, all those things that we look forward to and they're a pretty sure future. And I'm like, can't wait till that day. They still have the ability to disappoint us, right? Even if they look pretty sure. This hope is different. We have a sure future. And the path of the present and the path of the past lead us to this hope because of Jesus Christ. True hope does not disappoint. And true hope in our text tells us, leads us to God's love poured in our hearts. That's another word that caught my attention as I read this text. Every time I read this text, it says, true love poured into our hearts. Wow, I love that word, poured. You know, I just hearing that tells me that, you know, there's no holding back. There's no rationing involved here. It is God's love just poured on us. Every bit that we can possibly handle and more, His love poured on us. The experience of this true love, first, never disappoints us. But secondly, we have this pouring going on, the pouring of God's love. And this true hope, this experience that we're experiencing, never disappoints us. And the experience that we're experiencing of God's love poured on us is given to us by the Holy Spirit, our text says. All of this leads to an experience of hope that is far different than we could ever experience anywhere else. So, what about the real world? What about true hope in the real world? Right? We, again, just kind of going back to our movie clip, a lot of times we kind of live in two worlds, right? And sometimes there's a tension there. Things, you know, we have this Christian world, this scriptural world, this eternal world, but then we have this here and now that's so broken and messed up. Well, how do we live out this true hope that the Bible tells us about in the real world? You know, I've been in the hospital myself several times, and I've gone to the hospital with family members several times. And I've gone to the hospital to visit others, pray for them, encourage them. You know, every time, I found this fascinating because I came to this realization. You know, hospital waiting rooms for me, always a pleasant place. As oddly as that sounds, because I know I'm in the place of healing. Every time I've gone, it's always been, hey, you know, there's people I could talk to. We're in the place of healing. Things are getting better from here. Well, several years ago, this came very powerfully true to me that because we were waiting in a waiting room, Michelle and I, and we had just received word that we had lost a pregnancy. There was a space between Matthew and Elijah, and in that space was our other child. We had lost the pregnancy. This time, we were waiting for the next step of losing a pregnancy. And that waiting room was not a place of hope and healing. It was a tough, tough place. For us, pregnancies always went really, you know, by the book, you know. And here was this crushing blow. And it was tough for us. And it was not that place. You know, the thing, I remember two things about that waiting room. I remember one, first time, the only time, it wasn't the place of healing. That wasn't healing time. And secondly, right there in the public hospital waiting room, Michelle and I embraced and prayed. Hope was born again. Changed everything. That moment changed everything. Hope in the real world is real. This hope is real. It's true. And Jesus brings it into our broken world. You see, true hope is easily exchanged in the real world, isn't it? It's something that here we have this true hope in Jesus Christ, and the experience of it is amazing and wonderful, and then something rotten and terrible happens, and the here and now is a powerful force and wants to take that, rip that from us. The path of suffering is not fun. And too often we are tempted to exchange true hope for false hope, a wish. And a fresh start in our hope begins with and continues with Jesus here and now. We want to build that legacy, that legacy of going through suffering with Jesus at our side and building perseverance and character, which leads to hope that we can look at the future and know that our future is bright and know that Jesus can bring us through anything. And we want to build the pathway of the present that says, you know what? I have justification and access to grace, and I have His Spirit with me. And because of that, I'm walking in His glory, and I have found hope. The fresh start says to look at the suffering that we're facing and to grasp onto His true hope. Well, how can you hold firmly onto true hope? As I think about this, the exchange is really easy. In a moment, we're like, oh, I wish, and I've let go of my hope. Well, I have wishes and dreams. That's not the point. The point is that we exchange very quickly true hope for false wishes. Well, how can we hold on to this? How can we hold on to true hope no matter the broken circumstances of this world? One, check your heart. Check your heart. Now, be aware of where you are at with your heart. Is it open to the Holy Spirit? Our text says that the Holy Spirit pours God's love on us, into our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And there is a time that we have to say, you know what? I need to check my heart, and I need to take a moment and open my heart to the Lord, to be open to the Holy Spirit. Right now. The second part, see with eternity's eyes. You know, there's a long-term and a short-term view, right? And as we have eternity's eyes, it really helps us with momentary issues of suffering. You see, a lot of times we look at, and I see Christians do this too, I've done it as well, you know what, I'll sacrifice today, but this better pay off for my benefit next week. Right? They have a real short-term view. You know, the big lottery ticket thing that was on a while back, they were interviewing stores and they said, oh yeah, Wednesday we're going to be inundated. And I thought, see, I'll give up my buck now, but it better pay off tonight. Right? They won't even buy it 2 days in advance. They'll wait to the last day, apparently. Anyway, we very quickly say, well, better pay off for me now. But you know what? In eternity's eyes, it's very different. You see, if I sacrifice in this life to give someone else one more chance, it's worth it. Even if they don't take it, to offer them that one more chance, oh, that's amazing. It's worth it. It's worth it. Eternity's eyes. So check your heart. Have eternity's eyes. Third, get God's perspective. Be in the Word every day, especially in those times. You know, there's times that life is incredibly busy. And, you know, those times, I think it's okay to focus, get the job done, and come back to the Word. But in those moments when the exchange is so easy and the world is so right here, be in the Word every day. And I want to encourage you, the book of Philippians especially. I wrote in my Bible. I wrote right underneath the word of Philippians, the title, I wrote, Rejoicing in Chains. Because that's what Paul is doing. He's found joy in suffering. And I want to know about that. And so the book of Philippians is 4 chapters long. I think you can read it in 20, 30 minutes. And just in that period of time, I want to encourage you, read the book of Philippians over and over again. Other portions of Scripture as well. Be in the Word. Get God's perspective. Because the here and now, the short term, the immediate, can take that attention so easily. And then fourth, God's stories. When we share what God's doing in our lives, it really makes a difference in others. I know that your stories have helped me tremendously as you've talked about what God has done in your life. And I'm just so encouraged by it. And there are times in our own walk that we need to hear what God's doing in someone else's life. That helps us to hold on to true hope. Well, just like the goofy cartoon character in the poofy dress. Sometimes it feels like we've been transported into a strange and terrifying world. Hold on to your hope. True hope in Jesus Christ. Fresh start that hope. True hope is always followed by deep joy and accompanied by the poured love of God. That's what we're looking for. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together and to look into your word. Now, Lord, we pray for these pathways of hope in our lives, true hope. We pray, Lord, for the pathway of the past that we are building by your strength, by your truth, by your presence. We are building a legacy of hope found in Jesus Christ. And secondly, Lord, we pray for the path of the now, that we rely, that we experience that pathway of your grace, your justification, your truth, your spirit. Lord, we pray that you would fresh start our hope in the midst of whatever we're facing, that we would find this true hope that leads to rejoicing, even amidst difficult circumstances. Lord, we come to you and we look to the week ahead and we pray, Lord, that you would bring glory to your name through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.